We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Now you gotta like this one.
Zero complaints here. Christmas and Hollis, all time. Apparently our guy Pete Haley appreciated your rendition of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, B.
I talked to Pete this morning.
About what?
Because I was giving what's called his number two because Pete get there tonight.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I like to let people know if I get somebody your number. I said, you know, me and JB talk about Maniac all the time, right? He said, yeah. I said, well, I gave his son your number. Little Maniac.
All right. B. Mitchell Finley, 1067 The Fan. To help us preview Commanders Giants, a seriously big NFC East division game up in the Meadowlands, we are going to the BetQL guest line presented by the BetQL Network. Wagertainment for every fan, streaming now on Odyssey. Talk to our friend, Mr. Sam Fortier. Sammy, before we begin,
there we go.
Brian wants to know if you brought any bars
for
him.
Yeah, where the bars, son?
Hey, I came prepared with two of them today.
Hell yeah.
Two? Drop it.
The Commanders are winning, so I get to talk to B in the backfield or a district courtroom. Watch out for AG.
Uh-oh. I gotcha. The Attorney General. I see what you're talking about.
I like
there.
It. We might need you to drop that again when Jeff Walker comes back, because I don't know where he is, but he's our resident rapper. And 48, I don't know if you're ready for this, and maybe you need to talk to your agent, but Brian and I and possibly Lamphill have started a record label, Knuckle Up Records, and we're signing young, hot artists throughout the DMV. So maybe we can make a deal here.
Yeah, I don't have an agent yet, but it sounds like I should sign one.
That means you should come in and negotiate.
Yeah,
with
if you don't
agent.
Have yeah, an agent, just come on in and sign. Even better.
I got another one for you guys.
Let's all go. Right.
Big hat, left hand up, sloshing in JP's cup. B-Rob in space makes Chris Berman go, whoop!
That's strong.
I love
dude,
it.
Dude, you gotta collab with Jeff on one of his hype songs, man.
Oh, that would be cool. That would be cool.
Of course, if people are wondering why we want Sam Fortier from the Washington Post to drop bars for us, if you follow him on Twitter at Sam4TR, he's a Commanders beat writer for Washington Post, an alum of the Daily Orange, and an aspiring taxidermist, singer, songwriter. So that is why we always have musical requests of Sammy. All right, 48, let's get down to business for tomorrow's game. Or Sunday's game. I keep saying tomorrow. I feel like it's Saturday. What are the keys for the Commanders to get a dub?
Yeah, I think it's mainly the same formula that you've seen from them the last, you know, 6-7 weeks. But I think the number one thing that people probably talked about is, you know, stopping the read option. Daniel Jones turns into Michael Vick against this team. And so, you know, being able to limit what Marcus Mariota succeeded on last week, you know, getting pressure with four, stopping the run with four, particularly with how hurt the Giants' offense is, I think that's, you know, mainly the big key takeaways here.
I asked this question, though. It's been with different, coaching staffs, and he's had success multiple times. I mean, we say it's against the team. How is it that a guy can have success when you have a different defense out there, but he has the same level?
Yeah, that's a totally fair question. I think the thing, you know, him creating off schedule has been a really big part of that success. And I think he hit, you know, some of those 50-50 balls last year or 2020. I think this year, like what Brian Daboll, the new New York Giants coach has been doing that's been successful is using his legs even more, not necessarily only on design runs, but moving the pocket and, you know, kind of taking advantage of his athleticism. So I think that mainly, you know, keeping him in the pocket and doing what they've been doing with the exception of Marcus Mariota is the key here.
Sammy, let's talk about what the Commanders need to do offensively, because I think the defense has been wildly impressive, and certainly Jones has hurt them, and Saquon's numbers. I mean, the guy's got 1,200 total yards in 11 games. It's pretty ridiculous. But I think for the Commanders, their offense has to be better. And we know they've been running the ball, but their passing game has been damn near anemic, 140 yards in through the air last week, barely 200 for a couple games before that. It's easy to say Heinicke needs to be better, but is there more that needs to happen there?
I mean, Heinicke needs to be more consistent. Like that first drive last week, I thought he was pretty good, you know, going 4 for 4, and then he's low. He's late on that throw to Bates up the seam. He's late on what was almost an interception to Terry down the left sideline on the comeback.
Yeah.
So I really do think it's a lot on Heinicke. They could create more. But in terms of what they need to do to beat the Giants, I think the formula they have actually matches up pretty well. Like, Washington uses motion a lot, right? And particularly the Giants struggle against motion. The Giants, when they face motion on a run play, are allowing 6.13 yards per carry, which is by far the worst in the NFL.
6.13?
Yeah.
6.13. You heard that right.
Yeah, wow.
That's a lot.
But the thing, like, we've seen a lot of, and I look at these teams, and I think they're a lot closer than what people want to give them credit for, and they both seem to have the same mindset once they get out on the football field. So as I look at this game, I believe whoever runs the ball has a better chance, who runs it effectively has a better chance of winning it. But I ultimately believe that the penalties and turnovers is going to be a problem. And I look at both of the teams. They've been working well with the luck meter. Who is the luck going to run out on?
It's a great point about luck, and I think that Washington, especially with the turnovers they've been able to create, you know, like down the field against Philly, I think the luck, tough to say that the luck is going to run out on Washington. I think when I look at kind of how they match up, I agree that the teams are similar, and it's a huge matchup, right? Because if you look at the, like, 538, that's some of the playoff probability calculator, right?
Yep.
Like, this is the most consequential game of the weekend for both teams, according to their model. Like, basically, it's a 40 percentage swing in terms of Washington. You know, if Washington wins this game, they probably have an 80-ish percent chance to make the playoffs. If they lose, it's somewhere around 39-40. So, I mean, this is a big game for both of these teams. I think right now, maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid out here in Ashburn, but I really think Washington has the edge.
We're talking with our friend Sam Fortier from the Washington Post. You can give him a follow at Sam4TR here on the BetQL guest line. Dude, what do you make of the Giants getting practice off yesterday? Is that whatever weird illness they have, they don't want to spread? Like, a Thursday off is kind of odd.
I saw that on Twitter, and I did a double take. I was like, wait a second. I mean, this team got practice off last week for Thursday, but they did their meetings on Tuesday. You know, they kind of earned it as a good job for Thanksgiving. Getting practice off yesterday, you know, from what I understand, reading some of the Giants writers, is just, you know, hey, you know, we got the illness. Let's not, you know, let it get out of hand, and let's, you know, take the day from home. But it was a really odd decision, I think. You know, just thinking about how you usually prepare for an NFL game.
It does seem weird to me. And we talked with some Giants reporters earlier in the week. It looks like they're getting some offensive linemen back that have missed a few games. Right tackle Evan Neal, I think, could be a pretty big piece for them. Clearly, the Commanders' defensive line is I'd say, the top strength of this team. Do you think they'll be able to go up to New York and control the line of scrimmage like we've seen them do well on their three-game win streak and kind of in this 6 out of 7 stretch?
I do. I think that Atlanta, you know, while that offense isn't fantastic, they are really good at running, you know, certain runs outside zone in particular. And I think that, you know, for Washington, this is a good test to continue to be as disruptive. I think, you know, what they were able to do against Philly, which is, you know, one of the best offensive lines, if not the best offensive line in the league, was pretty indicative. But I think another part of this, right, is the way that their defensive backs fit the run. Bobby McCain, Derek Forrest, Cam Curl. I didn't think that, you know, probably Forrest in particular had his best game last week, especially, you know, fitting the run, even though he did have that big hit on one of the Mariota keepers. But I think that they need to supplement the run, and Jamin Davis and the linebackers, you know, getting in there as well. I think those guys, you know, need to support the line a little bit better than they did last week.
B and I were talking about how I think Jamin needs to have a big game. Sorry, dude. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think Jamin needs to have a big game. But ultimately, do you think the mindset that you just talked about, how these defensive backs are fitting with the run so well, that they can get sucked up and caught with a pass? You know, because I think so many – we've been stopping the run, and we're getting the defensive backs involved a lot. Can an offensive coordinator say, okay, we're going to use that to our advantage?
Suck them in and go over the top. Especially the safeties
have
been the run.
Because the safeties have been coming down, trying to shut it down. So when you go all out for it, sometimes somebody can counter it.
Right, and I think that's the biggest, you know, threat of Daniel Jones' athleticism, right? Like, if he can get you, you know, to crash, or if he can get you to change your technique, I think that all of a sudden that opens up holes that he can exploit, whether in the pass game or in the run game. I know that New York is down, I think, 5 of the top 6 pass catchers. And so that's, I think, a big part of not getting hurt on maybe some of those screens or the shorter game where they can, you know, pick up yards after the catch. But to me, like, yeah, I mean, you're right. It's definitely a vulnerability that I think that Brian Daboll, who's a very smart offensive coach, is going to try to exploit.
So I want to ask you a couple of other things that are going to surprise you. So let's go here. Talking to Sam Fortier, Washington Post. What do you think happens this weekend?
I mean, until the magic, the Heineke magic runs out, I'm going to say that Washington follows the formula that they've been using. They're going to run the ball, and it's going to be a one-score game probably into the fourth quarter that they, you know, come out on top with. But I think that this formula, while it's been successful, it's certainly not foolproof, and there are certainly moments where you leave yourself vulnerable to certain things, particularly when you're not finishing in the red zone. Washington has not – they've been, I think, you know, in the bottom half of the NFL in terms of red zone efficiency this year, even though they've kicked a lot of field goals. So, to me, if you're going to play this style, if you're going to shorten the game, you've got to make those possessions count. I still think they're going to come out on top.
The red zone struggles, man, are quite real, and – I kind of have a theory on the red zone stuff. I mean, they are in the red zone, 20th in the NFL in getting touchdowns. So it's just you got to score, and you're getting three, and not. They're 20th in their red zone percentage and 17th in the NFL in scoring. So they're just when you are limiting the possessions, and then you're getting threes instead of six, you're really costing yourself chances. What do you attribute the red zone stalling to?
Ron last week said that he thought that they weren't efficient enough on first down, that they, you know, are getting out of their rhythm that's taking them down the field, right, getting themselves in third and manageable. I think that's probably a part of it. I think another part is, you know, just when I go back and watch the tape, and obviously, you know, I'm limited on that, but I think that Taylor's arm strength shows up in there. And I know that he's made progress. I know that he's thrown down the field a little bit better. But I just think, you know, those tight windows in the red zone, it's really tough. I mean, he had a really good throw last year in Carolina, you know, getting it through a couple defenders to Cam Sims. But that's definitely the exception more than it is the rule. And so, you know, when you have to devote maybe less defenders to coverage, I think they're getting more pressure. So, I'm not a Taylor Heineke hater by any means, but I do think that he limits them somewhat in the red zone.
I agree, dude. And I think people have to have some semblance of understanding.
People have to understand, just because you don't agree with some things and you don't agree with them doesn't mean that you're a hater. New people and the young people today with me, just because I don't agree with you doesn't mean I'm hating. It means I have a different damn opinion.
And I don't know how you could watch. I mean, the guy started, 16 last year and this will be 8 this year. Like, that's a big enough sample size. We know that the arm strength isn't his top strength. Like, he's got a lot of things he does well, but zip in tight windows, especially when the field gets shorter in the red zone, is going to be a problem. That's also what I think, dude. I think those are big factors. You think Chase Young's playing this weekend?
I mean, I took a vow not to try to predict Chase Young's status anymore. I think all the weeks that we have done this, I think this is the one I feel most optimistic about, because it sounded like he was on track to play maybe before the illness last week. And if he's back, you know, which it seems like he is, I have to imagine that they want to put him out there at some point to see what they have.
Yeah,
Do you think that
I wonder now if you don't wait for the bye?
The bye following this week mean, and they've been skeptical about putting him on turf. The Giants have that field turf. Do they wait until the following week? Well, 2 weeks from now to put him on the field.
It's possible. Ron has said that the turf will not affect whether they put Chase on the field. Whether you believe that or not is.
But Ron also said that we don't want him on turf.
And he's also said that Antonio Gibson didn't have an injury, and he also said Benjamin St. Juice will be fine. So he says lots of things.
That's very true. I think that if you say, hey, we don't want this guy on turf, like when it rains, we practice in the bubble, Chase doesn't do what he does. I think that that's totally fair. And so maybe you hold him out because, you do have a string of games at FedEx and on grass after this last one in turf.
All right, so that was pretty much a non-committal answer on Chase. Maybe you think he's playing?
Yeah, I mean, slight lean to play, but non-committal is probably the right way.
We'll be looking on Twitter or Instagram for you to drop some bars letting us know what you truly think about Chase playing.
We're also doing this. I'd argue we are the most soccer-forward radio show in the entire District of Columbia. We do comprehensive USA previews before every World Cup game. Who do you like tomorrow, USA-Holland?
Man, as someone who knows very little about soccer,
you're perfect for our comprehensive reviews.
I would have to say USA. My two roommates are big into soccer. They've had the World Cup on the entire time. They seem to like our chances. I was actually in the locker room talking to David Botta, who's from Germany, and F.A. Obata, who's from England, about the World Cup yesterday. And they said, everybody in the locker room, nobody in the locker room cared. And then England and the U.S. drew, and John Allen and Casey Tuchel came in, and they were chanting USA all day, and waving flags, and giving them a hard time.
Well, if either one of you all have Josh Norman's number, he's actually in.
He was there.
He's there. So y'all,
my boy Jamie was with him.
Y'all need
Doha
to call him and find out what he thinks.
I mean, I have his number. It wouldn't stun me if he has a new number since
text
then.
Text him and see what he thinks.
Sammy, last one. Will you do
some
me
people don't change the number, JP. I had this one since 99.
All right, I'll text him. The last one, Sam Fortier, Washington Post. Can you do me a favor? You are friends with Les Carpenter, correct?
Regrettably.
Now, wow. Carp is one of he's one of the best writers I've ever read. He's so damn good with the written word. He's also a very proud Mizzou grad. Do I understand this correctly?
That is absolutely correct.
Missouri. The balls on Missouri, a 6-6 football team, refusing to go to the Liberty Bowl to play Kansas?
They refuse to go?
To play Kansas.
Wait. Why?
Because it's some heated rivalry and they don't want to reignite it. That is the lamest-ish I have
know
heard.
What that mean? I'm afraid that Kansas is going to whoop our ass. That's what that means to me.
I need you to find out from Carpenter if Mizzou is scared that Kansas is going to beat their ass.
That's what it is. They worried about it. Isn't Missouri now in the SEC?
Yes. So you got an SEC team scared of Kansas.
We are not going to play them because basically we don't want to lose to the conference that we thought was too small for us.
I mean, can you believe this?
There's no other extra. There's no other factors. It's just they don't want to get beat.
That's what we're saying.
I don't know, Sam. That's the determination we've made.
Oh.
Scared of
Kansas. I will absolutely investigate this. I will investigate this right away.
We're talking about practice. Goodness gracious. 48, appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you, brother.
Hold on. Jeff, put your headphones on. We have Jeff Walker for president. He is the star of Knuckle Up Records. Sammy, do you want to drop your bars for Jeff and see if we can work on a collab?
Yeah, find that page again.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Sanders are winning, so I get to talk to B in the backfield or a district courtroom. Watch out for AG.
Strong. Here comes the next one.
You get it? You get it?
Jeff might not get
Jeff
it.
Jeff don't
He's
get it.
Very, very stoned. All right, go to the next one.
I'm listening. I'm not stoned.
Next one. Big hat, left hand up. Flashing in JP's cup. B Robin's space makes Chris Berman go, what?
What do you think, Jeff?
He got some potential there, man.
All right.
He got some potential there.
Maybe the special Christmas song for the Niners game, we get a 48 Walker collab.
Yeah, let's do that, 48.
Hey, I'm open to working with you. I'd love to get in the lab.
That's what I like to hear. All right, you are officially signed to Knuckle Up Records. Thank you for the time, Sammy. We appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, guys.
All right, man.
That's our friend Sam Fortier.
You should have spent that signing bonus everywhere.
Yeah, it's a signing bonus of zero, just so we're
0.00001.
Anything we say on the radio is legally binding. Speaking of things we say on the radio, I've been talking about Omaha Steaks and how much I enjoy their product. Christmas time is coming. You know, because they keep playing terrible Christmas music every break. Christmas is coming, and you got to give gifts. Don't give terrible gifts. Don't send anybody a crew neck sweatshirt with a logo of a dog on it. You know what you should send them? Steaks. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use my code JP at checkout. You get $30 off your order. The holidays are here, and you can give gift-giving greatness with Omaha Steaks. You get the legendary butcher's cut filet mignons, the air-chilled boneless chicken, sirloins, burgers. The hot dogs are out of this world. Apparently, people get a kick when I say apple tartlets. Maybe I just deliver it well. Use the code JP at checkout. $30 off your order. You spend $100, you get $70. It only costs you $70. That's pretty damn good, folks. JP at checkout. Omaha Steaks is America's original butcher since 1917 and a holiday gift that's guaranteed to be loved.
As for me and Grandpa, we believe.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.